What's happening, Page Turners? It is Chaz and Sin Aesthetics here, and we are talking about one of my favorite Matt Fraction books, and I'm super excited for your take on this one. But first, let's put on some protection, because we're going to get down and dirty and talk about sex criminals. Uh-oh.
What a name. Just from the name, you can tell that there's something going on here, but you can't quite tell what. I was happy to go into this one just like totally unaware.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I took your suggestion on that.
It's the only way to get the real experience, because just imagine like this coming out and finding it on the stands and just being like, well, yeah. I gotta know.
Exactly. I thought maybe it would be more up the alley of like some weird underground, like, gritty sex ring or something. But it was, like, totally, totally not what I expected. And that's great. It was hilarious.
Exactly. So, it does. A name like Sex Criminals definitely makes me think it's going to be gritty, crazy, dark, twisted. But no, this is much in the vein of, like, just a sex comedy, something like Porky's meets Time Traveler's like, wife, almost.
Like Big Mouth or something, but actually good.
Yeah, so something along those lines.
We start out with Susie, our main protagonist, as a kid, and I felt a little bit uncomfortable, honestly, with the first issue, the fact that she's a kid experimenting with herself, but it was written by a man. But then, you know, the second issue, we see a man doing the same thing. And I was like, okay, at least they're doing all sides of it.
Yeah, they're
but
playing
it is
fair.
It is an important coming-of-age element that, you know, doesn't get talked about as much. So she learns that when she pleasures herself, that time stops. And I thought this was a metaphor at first, but then we find out time literally stops when she does this.
Yeah.
And it's like her own little world that is just her. She calls it the quiet. And then we proceed to see her grow up and go through all the motions with learning about her sexuality and all that jazz. And from there, we see her putting on a party as a young adult to save a library, because she falls in love with the library while learning about herself, and she ends up running a library, but they don't have the money to stay open because the bank is screwing them. She needs to, you know, raise the money, so they're at this party, and she meets this guy, John, and they start hitting it off because he's this actor with a good repertoire of literature references and etc. You want to take it from there, Chaz?
Yeah. They hit it off for real. They hit it off so good that they both find each other relaxed in pleasure after a nice one-night stand. Only this time, they are both not alone. John has the same ability to stop time at the moment of completion.
And he calls it
Gum World, which is much less dignified, but it does have its own
named after a sex store.
Yeah, it's got its own. It's got its own origin story that's pretty incredible. But I do want to say this first issue is just really, really good. Like, it's really good at making you fall in love with these characters and like really feel for them.
Yeah,
everything that they do, like jokingly, is just hilarious. Like,
but they're also
scene
like
where
really good, nice people who are like really well built, realistic, and they have their like drawbacks, but they also are, you know, doing what they can to make the world a better place. And through the hilarity of all the sex jokes you could imagine.
yeah. The thing is too, sex isn't the butt of the joke necessarily. It feels more like the people participants in the act of sex are the joke in a way, but it's a very sex positive comedy, which is good. There's not a lot of shaming or anything like that, which is great.
I'm going to jump forward a little bit.
Before we do that, I just need to talk about the montage scene in issue number one, where she goes to the most popular girl, a.k.a. the biggest slut of her school,
yes.
to learn about sex, and she pulls her into the restroom and then draws on the wall the real raw sex shit you need to know.
The most like horrible things you could imagine.
And they are just the wildest, insanest sex positions that don't make any sense.
Everything
that are
from
so
reverse cowgirl to
brimping.
Yes,
there's that one.
Brimping. The candle in the wind.
That one was pretty good. I really like where's the one? There's one where they're like doing, I think they call it like the 9 to 5, and the guy is a table basically that she's doing her work on a laptop on.
Yes, yes.
It's just insane.
They're all pretty hilarious. Yeah.
It's so good.
A lot of them don't even make sense.
It's called the user agreement. There's the candle in the wind, you know, for Lady Di, twerking, mm-hmm. or autoerotic twerking, the chocolate McKitten, which was...
Oh, God.
Some of these are horrible.
Why would a child know these things?
Right. But also, it sounds exactly like what a child knows.
Totally.
What I mean?
Like, I remember like everyone in middle school being like you, the donkey punch.
Yeah, like, they don't know what that is.
Before we dial it back to talk about John and his upbringing, I wanted to, on the note of sex positivity, just to skip forward a little bit, we have a character we'll talk about more, Jasmine St. Cocaine, who is a porn actress, and... she plays a role in the early story and comes back later, spoiler alert. And when we get a whole issue about her and how she goes from being somebody who gains no pleasure from sexual activity to somebody who, or to working as a stripper and enjoying partying and cocaine a lot, going through school while she's doing that. And it goes to her, being a quote-unquote model to her working in the adult film industry and finding the pleasure and figuring out she could stop time too. Spoiler alert again. once she
Hers
finally
is a little
orgasms,
different though, which was cool.
It is. We'll have to get into that in a little bit. There's one line that I really love from when we discover that. I have it screenshotted. But... the whole thing, and then she, you know, goes to become a college professor with multiple degrees, and the whole thing is just so sex positive that I really enjoyed reading it, because usually in comic books, the portrayal of people, or not even comic books, but like TV and books and comics and everything, the portrayal of people in the adult entertainment industry is really negative. But in this, it showed that she was like kicking ass and taking names while doing this, and it's totally all right, because that's her path.
Yeah.
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 So let's
it's really nice.
Let's go back to John's origin story. You want to start that up?
I mean, it starts like any young man's sexual origin story, I guess, if you're from the 1980s or earlier, with finding some porn in the woods. It's Halloween night. You find some porn.
They're getting their ass. They're dressed up as Kiss, getting their ass beat.
Yep.
Find some.
Does what comes naturally
nasty,
and
dirty porn. Literally
freezes time, and then uses that to sneak into a adult superstore named Cum World, where he proceeds to borrow all that his heart desires.
Becomes an addict.
Yeah, it's also got some real great visual comedy in that issue. There's the yes. Ask Jeeves website, the best search engine for erotic Googling.
I need to pull up my screenshots, because I actually have the names of a bunch of the films that were in that store screenshotted, I believe. Hopefully I didn't delete them when I was clearing space.
There's a ton of great, like, visual gags on every. It's one of those books that you basically can go back through and zoom in on all sorts of different stuff, and you'll find something new and something hilarious. There's a Game so of Thrones, visuals. The Iron Throne, but made out of dildos. There's a ton of great names for
one that for a lot stuck of out was
pornography,
barely illegal.
It was like
an young illegal immigrant. And
yeah,
God, what were the other ones? I don't know why that one stuck out. God, I can't remember. But there's like at least, you know, like probably 10 different porn names you see, and they're all just hilarious puns.
Yeah. There's so many that I don't even remember because there are so many. Like, it's exactly. Just like, you could point to anywhere on that page and find a hilarious sex pun in there.
Well, even later in the book, there was a point where a character was going into a store and the panels go black, and it pretty much says, "We were going to show him going into the store, but Chip Zdarsky," is that pronounced right?
Yeah.
But Chip Zdarsky is such a crazy man that there would have been 100 visual gags on every page stuffed full of sex jokes. So we had to cut that out. I thought that was great. Because it's true, there's so much visual storytelling and visual comedy throughout this story. Yeah. Yeah.
So John hates his job. That's John's biggest hang-up. He's not doing what he loves. He works 9 to 5, takes a lot of shit from his boss, but finds time when he visits Come World to take a shit in the office planter. That's his little personal revenge.
And instead of getting rid of the plant, the boss, being an insane person, puts a camera outside the plant and puts posters up saying, what do they call him? The Phantom Plant Shitter or something. He puts up like wanted signs around the office and uses it as a way to crack down on employees.
Which is wild.
Very.
Yeah. So Susie is a librarian. That's her job, and she loves it. Her and John could not be more night and day, but in the best way possible. You just love to see that kind of couple succeed. Only Susie's library has recently become underfunded and is getting shut down. That's when they...
By the bank.
I would say both.
That John works at.
Yeah. And I would say both of them come about the idea probably about the same time. They could use their time in the quiet to rob the bank, save the library, and get that revenge on John's boss all at the same time.
Yep. I think John kind of comes up with it first and tries to convince her, and then eventually she gets more into it than him. So they start doing it outside of banks, running in, grabbing enough money that it's not really noticed, you know, coming back out. Everything's kind of going according to plan, except for Susie's nosy roommate begins to suspect something. She calls the police. Yep, Rachel. She calls in the police station. And who picks up the phone but our villain, Kegelface, they call her, because she's constantly doing Kegels and has that face. And so she is a police officer, but she's, you know, I think she's just like she just answers the phone pretty much. I don't think she's like
a dispatcher.
She's a dispatcher. She's not like a real cop. I guess that... is a cop, but she doesn't have like much power and authority at the police station. But it ends up by chance they happen to call the one person who would cause them problems, because she also can go into Cum World. You want to take it from there?
John and Susie both find out that they are not alone. While they could basically had thought they had been until they met each other, there's a whole slew of people with similar powers and abilities, and they are using it to catch John and Susie and stop them from robbing more banks. There's one thing I do want to say about this part, because it's pretty great. The villains in this are hilarious. Like, their suits are so non-threatening. And they're crazy, like, and they're so yeah, and they're so, like, put together, all crazy and wild, and they have this air of, like, superiority where they are going to catch people who are doing wrong in their eyes, who have the same powers and same whatever as them. So even if they're doing it because of, we don't want the secret about us to get out, they still, there's no
more of a
body
power
that
trip,
voted
honestly.
For them. They're just yeah. they're just vigilantes. They're
masochistic,
they're sex vigilantes.
Sex fascists.
To catch our two sex criminals.
Yeah, they catch them at the biggest bank that they have that they are robbing. The final, their final robbery. The quote unquote sex fascists break in, start beating them with dildos, they cuff them up in BDSM cuffs and throw them in the back of a station wagon, and are taking them somewhere. Not really sure. When she decides, because once you're ready to go again is as soon as the quiet ends. So she pulls out a gun-shaped dildo, and it turns on these sex fascists so much that they all get horny, and Susie and John are able to make their escape. But they grab this device that looks like an iPhone off of them before they flee.
Here's the thing about this book. I really love it, and I liken it to a relationship.
That's so, really what it's more about. I think it's got a coming-of-age arc, and then it's more about the nature of relationships as an adult.
Oh yeah,
and
but it even
mental
feels
health
like
and sex positivity.
It even feels like, though, for me reading it, it feels like I am in a relationship with it. Like,
yeah,
the first couple of issues, I just want to know everything about it. Like, I'm loving everything. I'm reading them just
insane
as quick as I can.
Building. Yeah,
and then I'm invested, right? Like, I'm
That's
interested. I
want to
know more about it, right? And then and then there's a point where I start to get comfortable with it, and it loses a little bit of that luster. Like, I'm still excited about it. I still think it's going to be good when it comes out or when I'm reading it, right? Like, I know what to expect now, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's like a relationship.
It's still enjoyable.
That's like right after that honeymoon phase of, like, I got to know everything about them.
Yeah.
So now I'm comfortable, and then there's some wild shit that happens, like some more crazy stuff. They go and recruit some other people that have these sex powers to, like, help them with their thing. And then I'm like, all right, we're spicing things up. We're trying some new things. We're meeting new people.
Totally.
But it ultimately never really captures the
same
initial, like,
fiery,
I fell in love with it feeling.
Yeah. It's like a big fiery start. And then I think a lot of it is there's only so many sex jokes you can tell before you start repeating yourself.
Right.
And so that aspect of the books, which is kind of like half of it, you know, that's like the main thing that's in your face, the novelty starts to wear off. But the story they're trying to tell and, like, all the morals are still there to keep you engaged. And I feel like if I didn't read this all in one big chunk, I probably would have been kept more interested. Kind of like distance makes the heart grow fonder in a relationship, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah, so pretty much we start going a lot into not, you know, kind of derailing off an exact step-by-step of the story. Something I like is we start to go into John's mental health. He has a glowing penis. which is fucking hilarious. But eventually his penis is just gone. It ends up he hasn't been taking his medications, and it's been making him kind of crazy because he has OCD and has ADHD, and I think the OCD is making him, like, obsessive over the fact that these sex police are out there. Thinks that they're gonna come after him whenever they do it, so he doesn't really want to do it, and he's obsessing, so also that causes issues. Plus, their honeymoon stage is over. So eventually, his penis just disappears. And he's just like a Ken doll. And they decide to put him back on his medications and go and seek therapy. And watching him in his therapy sessions and seeing how the positivity around, like, you know, psychiatric medications in this book, because I really usually hate the portrayal of mental health issues and psychiatric medications in books. Usually they make people on medications look like they're super or people who aren't taking their medications super dangerous and crazy and are going to like blow up a house or something, you know, but they show him just as like, you know, he struggles when he's not on him, but he's not dangerous or crazy. Like, and then, you know, once he goes on his medications, it's very positive for him. It's very good. It makes him stable. But, you know, there are the drawbacks. But in a very real way, it's not like, oh, he's a zombie when he's on them, like a lot of things say. And I should preface by saying that I have ADHD and bipolar. So this kind of stuff speaks to me a lot personally. I'm on medications and I really enjoy them.
And it's nice to see a realistic portrayal of it, right? Like,
exactly.
Like you were saying, exactly. It's just a, in addition to being sex positive, it's very like treatment positive. Exactly. And in depicting the struggle, I think very, very accurately portrayed.
It's not blown out of proportion for dramatic effect or anything. It's just like a part of his life.
Right.
It's something he deals with. And if he doesn't, you know, things start to get a lot more difficult for him. That's about it, you know, which is actually very realistic. Even me with like a pretty severe case of bipolar and ADHD, it just makes your life hard. It's not like you're going to go kill someone, you know.
And now imagine your penis disappearing on top of it.
Yeah, well, like, that's, I think that was a great metaphor for like, you know, like that was such a perfect metaphor for like, him going through all this like psychological shit that's just killing his libido, and like the honeymoon stage being over, killing his libido, because we've all been there and you rebound from it. But there's definitely like a point of like your penis disappearing after the honeymoon stage and coming back. And they actually separate for a little while in the book because of all of this stuff going on. It's just too much for them. And Susie's at the gynecologist and it's, instead of her normal old man, it's a sexy man who is like a doctor that is super nice and ends up flirting with him when she thinks he's flirting with her when he's saying that she has the perfect vagina, but he's actually not, and he brings in like 10 different students to look at it probing her which seems extremely uncomfortable. And then
Robert Rainbow, that was his name.
And then we,
because I remember it was just so good,
grabbing some coffee. Yep Robert Rainbow, and it ends up that it's John's childhood best friend. And we get some good backstory on him too, about his parents walking in on his his dad being pegged by his mom in full dominatrix gear. And him just kind of being cool with it and understanding that adults do these sorts of things because they love each other. And it's not really anyone's business to tell them not to, as long as it's safe. And as a child, he even says that's the most mature thing I've ever said, when he's referring back to that conversation of him as a child, mostly trying to speed through the talk him and his dad are going to have, because it's very uncomfortable for both of them.
Yeah,
and so John and Susie end up getting back together, and Robert Rainbow actually ends up getting with Susie's roommate, which I thought was actually really cute and awesome. they were great together.
And they all lived happily ever after. No, I'm just kidding.
pretty much.
No. Nobody gets out that easy.
I mean, I could see he could have ended it there, but I'm glad he didn't. that would have been a good ending point if he had to. You know? But I'm glad it kept going.
The series does run 69 issues. No, I'm just kidding. It was only 31 issues, but they numbered the last one 69.
Which kind of scared me at first, because I was wondering about that, and I was like, fuck, are there 69 issues I have to read this week? But
no. Yeah, there wasn't.
Because for our listeners, I do tend to read our comics, like, try and keep them fresh in my... To keep them fresh in my mind, I try and read them, like, a few days before we record.
Yeah.
So 69 would be a lot. I actually didn't get to the end of the series. I got about halfway in.
No, that's totally okay. That's a lot more than me.
Okay.
I read it before, most though, of it right? as it was. Yeah. But like I said, I kind of fell out of it for a while. It hit a couple of delays.
Mm.
I think. Did you make it to the real meta issue where, like, there's a scene where Matt Fraction calls Chip Zdarsky and they talk about what's going on in the book?
No, I didn't. There is a lot of good humor and fourth wall breaking, though. I'm just going to add in right there.
That got to a point, though, for me where I was almost like too much. Like, I could definitely understand the, I want to have this conversation. Because it was basically talking about how, like, if the bad guys have sex powers and we're saying they're bad, are we saying that the sex is bad? And then there's, like, a lot of just concern at how it's all going to be received or portrayed. Right?
Well, probably good they said that, but maybe they could have said it in like a foreword instead of...
I was going to say even a letters page or something.
Yeah.
But it took out a lot of the oomph of my sales for the book for a while.
Oh, like, yeah, because you were selling it, Yeah.
No. I meant like for me, enjoyment of it. Like, it took a little of the wind out of my sails.
I thought you said sales, like when you were working at the comic shop, sales. People weren't buying as much.
No, like boat sales. Out of my boat sales.
Okay.
So I think I read the last issue when it came out, but I didn't end up going back to catch. I probably got up to about where you were, right around the middle of the series, I think. But then, I had cooled on it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to grow to resent the series, so I thought maybe it was best if we ended it there. And I came back at the end to see how they were doing, and, you know.
I almost feel like time. I could almost skip a little bit ahead, and because the sex war part seems like it might be pretty interesting. But leading up to it, it definitely lost steam. But then I wouldn't really understand the ending, so I probably should just read the second half once I give myself some time.
Feel like it's not a bad idea.
They start, after all this happens, they get really interested in what's going on with the sex fascists. And John breaks into Kegelface's house and steals a bunch of files that have all these names of people like them. And so they decide to overthrow them by collecting all these strays. I don't know if they have like a big sex cerebro or something. But
I mean, you might as well call the book Sex Men at this point.
Oh, totally. And so they're going around collecting all these people. A lot of them don't even know that they have these powers. As far as I got, they got... Jasmine sank cocaine and they went to find another guy in Florida. So Jasmine sank cocaine, when she orgasms, she turns into a quote unquote weird sex ghost.
She can fly, float through walls. She's part of the Quiet.
She says to them when she sees them, because they all simultaneously orgasm so that they can be in there together. She said, which there are some holes there, but I'm not going to dig into it because of the ridiculousness of the story to begin with. But anyway, so they all bust at the same time, and she comes in and says, "Wait, you guys don't turn into weird sex ghosts too?" and then the next guy that they go and find, he wears this weird little anime mask when it's his time. And when he finishes, he turns into a anime fairy girl that speaks in a strange fairy language and turns into a tentacle sex monster. And that's pretty much as far as I got.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fun jokes and a lot of fun storytelling pieces. I feel like a pretty good
place to leave it off.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of want to go back and finish it, but I'd say that the beginning, the first like 10 issues are really strong. So I suggest anybody read the first like 10 issues at least.
Yeah. Yeah. What's give me your top, top three scenes from the series so far. Just like three just
things that stood out the most. I loved it when they stopped time and went into the sex store and just fucked everything up to see if anyone would notice. They like moved everything around and great. Like put dildos in people, like,
throwing dildos at each other,
people's faces and stuff. Like
they're doing a sack race in the vagina.
I did like the whole sequence of them getting together because I mean it wasn't funny really. I mean there was a lot of jokes and it was funny, but I also really liked it just as like it was very sweet and felt very real and just gave me warm, fuzzy feelings.
Yeah.
And I really liked the scene where they were bound up in the back of the car trying to escape. I don't know why, but there was a lot of funny shit going on there. What about you, Chaz?
Yeah. So my top three, I would probably say the montage scene with the weirdo teen sex positions. Is up there.
That's a really good one.
I really like that one. I love the Queen musical number.
Yes.
That scene is like the crown jewel of them getting together.
Did you read it as a graphic novel or as individual books?
I read it on Comixology because the first volume.
Okay.
And it's actually pretty radical.
So
doing these Matt Fraction books, the Queen... so much of it is free on Comixology Unlimited. You could download Hawkeye, you could download Iron Man, you could download this one. But yeah, the Queen scene.
So you read it as a graphic novel. Did they have the actual words from the Queen song? Because in the books. Okay, they was all covered up saying maybe when we get the graphic novel out, we'll put the real lyrics in.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, that was a great scene. All right.
It's just super choice.
It's so good.
Yeah. And then I think three, I do actually really like that scene with Robert Rainbow where she's like, wow, this is a hot doctor. But yeah, the bringing in like 10 students is really funny. Yeah.
All poking around in her lady parts while she's like, ooh, this doctor. But also super awkward about it. And like, why the fuck is this happening to me?
Right? But yeah, that Queen scene. I think that Queen scene might be number one.
Maybe more than them in the car, I think maybe the scene where he's just, you know, he's just saying all these different names of these ridiculous porn parodies that
are
just fucking hilarious. He's just rattling them off left and right. I was laughing my ass off during that scene. So that might be one of them. There's just so many good scenes in these books. Like, it's really choice.
Plus the range, right? I mean, like, here's somebody that we've been reading almost exclusively superhero stuff of, with the exception being November, but like this reads so much different than November, and it reads so much different. It's actually probably got a lot more in common with Hawkeye than any of the other stuff we've read.
Strange thing to say, but totally true.
Right. It's got the heart. It's got the humor.
When you say range, also just the range in storytelling in this story itself. Like, for example, like Rick and Morty is such a good show because it's like totally ridiculous and over the top comedy, but with like underneath, there's all this like deep storytelling. Surprisingly, if you actually like get into it, and there's parts where you're like, why am I feeling like this? And you know, this book is kind of like that too. There's like a lot of more emotional kind of stuff and more real storytelling and against sex positivity.
Yeah, man.
And there's a lot of talking about controversial topics and in ways that make you laugh, but also are serious. And there's a lot of range in this storytelling where they can be so over the top with things like Come World, but then at the same time, they can be making impactful messages.
So grounded in the reality yeah. of like life and relationships.
It's just so real for like adulting, like all of it's just very, very like real, which is rare to see in entertainment.
Yeah. An honest, authentic portrayal. Exactly. And Susie's written really well, even though she's written by a man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he really likes writing women, but he does yeah. a good job at it. So
he really does. He's
definitely a very feminist man. Which I'm all about, because I'm all about the feminist movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Support all women, believe all women.
Exactly. Well, I mean, what's left to say? We haven't been talking that long, but...
I also feel like this is a book that... The less said is the better, because you need to experience it as much as you can without any real idea.
Which we've already kind of spoiled most of.
We kind of have, but I feel like the visual component of it, as we keep stressing, is like so strong, even just as far as background.
It's as important as the story itself.
Yeah, but just the look of everybody is real cool. Like them,
the art style, finding love
is like phenomenal. And it breaks my heart every time when I know that they're like going to be apart for that little bit. You know what I mean? Like.
Totally. I mean, that's kind of also very real, and something a lot of couples go through. Even like really strong couples that you see that like you know are going to be together for the rest of their life. You sometimes have separated. You know, it's just like a very real thing that happens. Like separating, coming back together. A lot of relationships, you know, go through that. Yeah,
but it's all exactly. captured.
Well, some of them heal because of it too, like this one did. They needed the space from each other after everything that happened.
Yeah, it's just it's just captured in a way that just goes with the rest of this book. You know what I mean? Just sex is fun. It's funny at times. It's you know what I mean? Like it's just a good. It's a mixed bag of an experience, right? And that's life also. And this this one does a good job of representing all the aspects of that.
Yeah. So I think we've pretty much said what is to be said about this until you guys go and read it, which I do highly recommend at least the first 10 issues. Or the first two graphic novels, I believe, is the first 10 issues. So just pick those up and see. You can continue if you'd like. But that's like the main first arc. So, in a little bit of the second, I think. Yeah. And so, what was I going to say? Oh, should we go into a little bit of pop culture and comic book news?
Sure. What do you got?
Well, there's that new Matrix trailer, which looks really good. It's got Keanu Reeves being John Wick in the Matrix for some reason, but I'm about it.
It's got Doogie Howser.
I think at this point, they just go, all right, Keanu, we just want you to come and play yourself in this movie. they don't even give him a role. He just plays Keanu.
I was super surprised that they didn't de-age him. I'm sure it'll serve the story, but
well, I think it's gonna be upset about it.
They're already in a fake world. You know what I mean? Like you could give me Keanu.
So it's got Neil Patrick Harris as his therapist, which I love, and I'm hoping we get a little comedy from him because he's funny as hell, but it would be a little weird in the Matrix.
So
it goes to... what was I going to say about it? So it seems like it's going to be in the future, though, and like somehow they're back in the Matrix even though they had already destroyed it, so I'm not sure how that's going to all
destroy it, though.
They didn't? Right? I thought the ending was they didn't destroy it, but they left.
So they basically, he made a deal where he would restart the Matrix and purge the, like, Agent Smith code, right? Because that was, like, a virus. So he was going to purge that and restart the Matrix. But the agreement was, if anybody wants out, you let them go. Like, they don't want to be a part of it, just cut them out. Don't try to keep them or whatever. So, like
the pods in Fallout. Like,
right. Like, the sun rises. At the end of that movie, the sun rises in the Matrix. And it's, like the first the Oracle and the little girl from the train station, like, watching it. And she's supposed to be, like, they were supposed to be, like, embodiments of functions in the Matrix or whatever. So she was, like, a rainbow. It was something like that.
It's okay, those movies got a little bit ridiculous, like with the Superman scene and stuff. Yeah. Like, they went from being like more of like an impactful messages and stuff to, and like crazy high concept to being very action oriented, which is where the story started to suffer, but it was still good all the way through. I enjoyed all three.
No, they're still pretty cool.
I watched the whole trilogy like 5 years ago last time, but I've seen it like, you know, at least 4 or 5 times, so...
Yeah,
I'm really excited. I want to go see it in the theater when it comes out. The graphics look amazing. What else do we have? We have some stuff about Venom and Spider-Man both.
Yeah, Spider-Man, I think, got its trailer not too long ago, but I don't know. Mm-hmm.
This last week, though, they had a leak of Andrew Garfield and what looks like Tobey Maguire's hands. So it just confirms what everybody already knew for like the last... fucking 6 months.
I'm still hoping it's my theory that they're both dead by their respective villains, and that's what, like,
I'm still like hoping it's my theory
through the portal.
Yeah, like, that you see him tossed through the portal and just like murdered immediately. Yep.
Already bodied as they come through.
Yep, just fucking dead Spider-Man's flying out of the sky. and then what's the deal with Venom? Michael was talking about how people are upset.
Rated PG-13.
Mm-hmm. Who's the bad guy? Carnage?
The perfect rating. Yep. For having Carnage as your bad guy.
So
we've all wanted to see for forever.
Somehow they're gonna put one fuck word in a serial killer movie.
Yep.
And
that way they could get away
with blood.
They could have a little bit more blood though, because they'll be able to say one F word and everyone will be like, I can't believe it.
I just want to see
said the F word.
I just want to see a PG Carnage movie.
Yeah. No. I want to see
I don't know why they didn't make it rated
Muppet
R
Babies.
Because there have been several rated R superhero movies at this point. I'm hoping the new Blades will be rated R.
They gotta be.
Because something people forgot, everyone was flipping out, like, Deadpool is the first rated R Marvel movie. And I'm like, how does everyone forget about Blade? Like,
right?
Come on, guys. So I don't really know what else is going on in comic news or pop culture news. That would be more your cup of tea.
Yeah, I've been out of it for a little bit. I just started school again for the first time and... what feels like forever, and now my brain's turned to mush.
Totally. I've like just been coming out of my shell on and putting myself out there as a musician again after like a long period of hermiting and developing. So yeah. I've just been total brain fried, fucking brain soup too. But
it's hard, man.
Yeah. What else we got? So what else we got coming up? So, Jimmy Olsen next week.
Upcoming. Jimmy Olsen. Yep. Very excited about
that
one.
I believe my brother Alex
one.
Is going to join us.
Heck yeah. I'm excited to see what y'all think about this one, because it is just all the best parts of what we've gotten so far. The humor, the heart, the crazy superhero-ness. And it's DC, I think, is one of his only DC works. Either way.
Yeah, he's Marvel guy usually, huh?
Yeah, it's just a really great read. It's 12 issues, short and tight. Every issue is filled with so many good jokes. There's a particular story about an assassin, the titular assassin who kills Jimmy Olsen, called Nathan Guy. And it's just it's just like
Mr.
one
Guy.
Page. And it's And it's so funny. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that, like...
There's a lot of meta humor, too, right? From what I understand. Yeah.
It feels a lot like...
to read this one. It's got
like
a lot of
30
heart
Rock
right here.
Yeah. DC Universe.
Oh, dude, I love 30 Rock so much.
Yeah. It's got that mile-a-minute joke structure. It's pretty great.
Yeah, that was their whole thing. It's just throwing as many jokes out and... Because a lot of them might miss, but some of them will land.
Mm-hmm.
That was Tina Fey said that was her whole concept behind the way they wrote Smart. 30 Rock.
It's like 1.7 jokes a minute.
Tina Fey's writing is fucking stellar.
It's pretty choice.
Yeah. What do we got coming up after that? We got some interviews. I'm not sure the dates on those, though.
That's what I was going to say. So basically... Jimmy Olsen coming up next week, which we're super pumped on. That'll actually wrap our Matt Fraction season as well. And then next month, starting in October, is that the end of Jimmy Olsen? Jimmy Olsen's the last one, I think, right?
I think there's one more. Anyway.
Either way.
So coming up after...
After that, we've got all sorts of guest stars coming on. We're interviewing all sorts of great creators that I know we've all been very excited to talk to, and hopefully you will be excited to listen to, because we've already talked to several of the members of the White Noise crew, all just darling. Just amazing guests and really fun people. And we're talking to all sorts of them. Starting in October.
Super intelligent, very creative, very productive people. They check all the boxes, you know? They hit all the marks.
And we'll be
just excellent, excellent guests.
We'll be posting a schedule on our Twitter page as soon as that's all finalized and locked in. But yeah, you got a lot of great stuff to look forward to. Keep an eye on Outside the with a zero in the front. For more information, you can find me on Twitter as well, at Chaz Simons. And Jack, where can they find you?
You can find me at sin_aesthetics with an X on Twitter. Or you could find me, just look up Sin Aesthetic on Spotify or SoundCloud if you want to hear my tunes. The intro and outro music. I've never mentioned that, in case people didn't know.
I feel like we probably should have been saying that a lot longer. Well, we're working into the rotation now.
I think about it, like half the time we're going to record, I'll like think, oh man, I still haven't said that on the show, and then just totally space on it. So now you guys know.
Yep. And we'll include intro and outro songs.
Okay, cool. I'm down. Yeah. We don't have to say it every week, but
now we might as well.
Just
why
get
not?
It out there. Sure. Yeah. Sure. All right. Oh man, your cat walking around your room always gets me.
Yeah, right? Yeah, oh, she brought a toy.
The cat got eaten by coyotes, dog.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's fucking so sucks. That was like a month ago.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Bummer. Anyway, I'll cut that out because I don't want to bump people out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All right, so is that about it? That wraps
it
up?
Yeah, that's it. So make sure to follow us on Twitter. Please comment, subscribe, review us wherever you get your podcasts. Everything that you say can only make us improve. And if you love us already, I need that validation. So please give us a review.
Little dopamine, serotonin boost whenever you see that little heart
exactly.
comment.
Exactly.
But yes, we would love to engage with you guys more.
Yeah. That's it. This was our first Michaelis episode. You can follow him on Twitter at PoetAir33 for all sorts of other fun news and information. And I think, Jack, you want to take us out with that signature line since... Feels sure. self-serving if I do it.
Never said this one before on here.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Enjoy your day. And isn't there usually a lead up that Michael says?
I don't know. I mean, you can, okay. But try it on for size.
All right, everyone. Have a wonderful evening or afternoon. I don't know when you're listening to this.
Have a wonderful time.
Have a wonderful day and wash your hands. Boom.
Outside the pages.